Everyone, I'm so glad you're here. If you want, grab yourself a Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 3, page 984 in the church Bible. And before we get started this morning, what I would like to do is I'd like to tell you about something that happened this morning. I'll show a picture. That's this morning, 6:35 a.m. That obviously doesn't do it as much justice as it was in person, but that's our sunrise service. Every Easter we have a sunrise service, and it's definitely something you want to put on your bucket list of things to do before, well, you know what a bucket list is. Here's the thing. It's such a special time, like, to see the sunrise, and then what we do is we watch the sunrise, and then we go inside, and we have a service, and then, we have some breakfast together and stuff, so it was such a great time, and we're so thankful for all the volunteers that put that together. We actually, some family from our church actually rents out the Holiday Beach Club down in Weirdtown at the end of Lighthouse Drive, so they host it there, so it's such a great time. What I would like to do, since it's Resurrection Sunday, He has risen, obviously, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to read from John chapter 20. I know I told you to turn to Colossians. Don't worry about turning to John. I'm going to read from John chapter 20, and then I'm going to pray. It says this, "Now, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, 'They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him.' So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloth lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloth, but folded in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in and saw and believed. For as they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead, then the disciples went back to their homes." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. We thank you for this Resurrection Sunday that we celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, to show that he has power over death. Lord, we pray today that as we learn from your scriptures about the mindset that we need to have, the resurrection mindset that we need to have as we go forth in this life. I'm just thankful for each person that's here, and I just pray, Lord, that you would just help us to each glean from your scriptures what you want us to take home. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So life can be tough sometimes, agree, right? Life can be tough, there's difficulties in life. Not too many of us stroll through life without any difficulties. And you know what, after 15 years of working with teenagers and children and stuff like that, and getting into conversations like, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? What are your hopes and dreams? I have never heard kids respond with, I want to have a dead-end job when I grow up. I want a difficult marriage that ends in divorce. I want to live paycheck to paycheck. I want disobedient children. I want to have an unfulfilling life and make no difference in this world. I never hear that, okay? But why are these types of things so common? Why are these types of things and many more difficulties so common in life? See, on this Easter Sunday, we're going to learn why we face difficulties and how having what I'm going to call a resurrection mindset will actually help us deal with these difficulties. I'm going to say that again. We're going to learn why we face difficulties and then why having a resurrection mindset will help us deal with these difficulties. So the first thing we want to do is find out why. And the reason why there are difficulties in this world is sin is the reason why there are difficulties. Plain and simple, three-letter word, sin is the reason why. Let me give you a little biblical history of where sin came from. Some people might think that sin came from just Adam and Eve in the garden, but sin actually goes further back than that. Some of you might recall the name Lucifer. He was an amazing angel created by God who fell from grace, so to speak. He fell because he wanted to rebel against God. He thought that he could be like God. He fell to the sin of pride, and along with him, he convinced a third of the angels to rebel against God as well. We know that now from the scriptures as Satan and his demons. But now we fast forward to the creation of this world. And the creation of this world, the biblical account is found in Genesis. And the culmination of God's creation, his crowning achievement is, guess who? People. You and I. It says that God created male and female in his image. So he put the man and woman in the Garden of Eden. Do you remember this account? He put the man and woman in the Garden of Eden and said, work the garden, tend the garden, be fruitful and multiply. He gave them a long list of things they could do and a very, very short list of things they couldn't. Okay, the very, very short list of things they couldn't were one thing, okay? You cannot eat from the tree of good, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. One commandment. You think you can handle it? I give you one commandment. Do you think you can keep it, okay? You might be thinking like I am, like, I got this, okay? It's one thing, okay? One thing. Well, the serpent, the Bible says, was more crafty than the other beasts. The serpent was actually Satan. Because he was the originator of sin and the one who got the sin ball rolling, he did not want God's crowning achievement to experience God like God intended them to experience him. So he came in. He deceived Eve, and she subsequently, along with him, deceived her husband. So Adam and Eve broke the one command, ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God had said, if they eat from this tree, they will surely die. Satan, being crafty, said, well, didn't God say you will surely die? Well, you will not surely die. And you know what? When they ate of the tree, what Satan had said was actually true. Because there is some truth in Satan's lies. He comes as an angel of light, and he told them this. You will not surely die, but you will see things and be like God. You will see things the way God sees things. And he painted God out to be this monster that didn't want people to be like him. So Adam and Eve ate, and they didn't physically die right away. But death entered into this world. Physical death and spiritual death, which was a broken relationship between God and people. Well, I want to tell you, difficulties happen because of sin, but I want to just tell you a little bit more about that. The first thing is this: creation is cursed because of sin. God said this, Adam, you're here to work. Work was going to be a joy and a pleasure, okay? If you think work is the curse, it wasn't the curse, okay? God created people to work, okay? To find fulfillment in work. And guess what? In the heavenly kingdom, we're going to work, okay? We're going to work and find pleasure in that. But here's what happened. When sin entered the world, work became hard. The Bible says this, that thorns and thistles will be put on this earth. You will work the garden by the sweat of your brow. Okay, so creation is cursed. Some of you might say, well, why are there natural disasters, tornadoes, floods, hurricanes, landslides, all that stuff, tsunamis? Why are there all these things? It's because of sin. Okay, we see some of the beauty of creation like I did this morning at 6:35. Well, actually, I was there at 6:36. The sun was just peeking over and I pulled up. Okay, it was a little late. So we see the beauty of creation, but we also see some of the ramifications of the curse on creation. But you know who else was affected by sin? People were affected by sin. People sin against us and make our lives difficult, don't they? Our bosses, our spouses, our children, our parents, our coworkers, our friends, our neighbors. Did I miss anybody? Yeah, you can call them out if you want to. Now would be the appropriate time, okay? People cause us difficulties because they sin against us, don't they? But you know what? I don't want you to just sit back like I do sometimes and say, yeah, people are bad. Mm-hmm. I want to remind you, sin affects us, doesn't it? Let's personalize this a little bit. We are all sinners. We have a sin nature, and we have desires to do things wrong. Maybe your desire to do things wrong comes from fun. I think that a wrong thing to do here is fun. Maybe it's for protection. I want to protect myself. Maybe it's for selfish reasons. But the truth is, we all sin. That's the truth. We're all affected by this fall, this sin ball that started rolling. And guess what? We're all affected by it. And you know what? The result of sin, as I said before, is death. Not only physical death, but spiritual death. That means a broken relationship with the Lord Jesus. That means that this death will continue for eternity. That means we can't spend eternity with God if we stay in sin. Well, it sounds pretty hopeless, doesn't it? It sounds pretty hopeless. But you know what today? I'm here to tell you that it's not hopeless. It's not hopeless because today, the resurrection of Jesus Christ we celebrate reminds us of the hope that we have in Jesus. See, Jesus, the good news is that he came to this earth to pay our sin debt when he was dying on the cross. 3 days later, he rose from the grave to prove that he was God. And the Bible is clear when it says this: all who believe will have eternal life. It's not about how good you can be. It's not about how many times you can go to church. It's not about being a great person. It's about trusting that Jesus is your Savior. He paid the debt of sin. He rose again to prove that he could pay the debt for sin. If you don't trust in Jesus, here's what I need you to do. For your own sake, not for my sake, you need to trust Jesus. Because guess what? You'll die in your sins if you don't. And that's not what I want for you. That's not what your family who loves you wants for you. That's not what any person who has any sense of compassion for another human being would want for you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. You need to trust him. So Jesus takes care of our sin problem, but then we look around and say, well, you know what? While I'm still here on earth, there is difficulties. Man, you know what? If I'm honest, sometimes life really stinks. Things happen that I don't like, I didn't plan on, I didn't wish for, I didn't hope for, I didn't dream for, I wouldn't wish on anybody else. How am I going to deal with these difficulties? Well, what I want to suggest to you this morning, it has a lot to do with our mindset. It has a lot to do with our mindset, and it's something I want to call a resurrection mindset. And here's why I want to call it a resurrection mindset. It's because today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, the impossible becoming possible. Okay, if someone in your family died a week or so ago and then someone else came up to you and said, hey, listen, today I saw that family member walking down the street, you would say, impossible, that person's dead. Well, the truth of the matter is the impossible became possible in Jesus. The impossible became possible in Jesus. And you know what? The resurrection mindset we need to have is to deal with all the difficult things. We know that Jesus isn't going to raise a passed away loved one from the dead, but we also do know that while we're here on this earth, that there's going to be difficulties that come our way, and we need to have some way to get through those difficulties. Before I get to the scriptures, I want to ask you a question. Have you ever heard the term the power of positive thinking? You ever heard that term? There's a book written about it. Norman Vincent Peale wrote The Power of Positive Thinking. I just want to tell you this. All truth is God's truth. So when humans find some kind of truth out there that works, God is the originator. But here's why I tell you this. This woman, her name was Dr. Barbara Fredrickson. She's a positive psychology researcher. Okay, track with me. A positive psychology. So she was kind of researching these issues. And she's out of the University of North Carolina. She published what they call a landmark paper that provides surprising insights about positive thinking and its impacts on your life. So here's what she found. What negative experiences do to your mindset. When you have a negative experience, researchers have long known that negative emotions program your brain to do a specific action. So if you have a negative experience, you're programmed kind of to do a specific thing. I'll give you an example. Some years ago, I was out in front of my house clipping the hedges. Okay, I was out there, you know, just clipping my hedges. All of a sudden, I feel pain underneath my armpit. I was stung by a bee. I was like, ow. But then I looked around and there was bees all over. They were swarming around me. So what did I do? I dropped my hedge clipper and I booked down the street, probably 2 blocks away. I was flying. I was just like, I got to run. I don't know what else to do. I just got to go. The negative experience, I was programmed to get out of there, okay? Pretty useful, I would think, right? This is helpful. I mean, why would I stay there? Duh. Ow, ow, ow. I'm not going to stay there, okay? So it's helpful to save yourself, life and limb maybe, but the problem is your brain is still programmed to respond to negative experiences in the same way by shutting out all of the outside world and limiting your options. You know, when I was running down the road, what I wasn't thinking of, did my hedge clipper break? Okay, is somebody that I know going to see me running down the road and laugh? I didn't really care, okay? I just said, go. But for example, when you're in a fight with someone, your anger and emotions might consume you to the point where you can't think about anything else but how furious you might be. When you hate your job, you may not be able to concentrate at work. When you are having a financial issue, you might not be able to come up with ways to resolve that issue because of the stress. When someone breaks your heart, you might think to yourself, I can't go on any longer. I can't think about anything else. See, what she found in this study was negative experiences make you really focus in on maybe only one way to get out. And it knocks out all the other options that the outside world has to offer. But then she goes further and she tries to find out what positive experiences do to your mindset. And here's what she did. She set up focus groups because they're researchers, and of course that's what they do. And she set up five. The first two were showing video clips of very positive things. Things that would have us think positively and, you know, call up positive emotions. Then she took focus group number three and showed the group neutral clips, just kind of very benign neutral clips. And then she took groups three and four and she showed them very negative clips. Afterwards, she took all the participants and gave them a sheet of paper. And on the sheet of paper, there were 20 lines, and it said this, I would like to, in front of each line, and then you fill in the blank. So she asked all the people that saw negative images, all the people that saw neutral images, all the people that saw positive images, to write down as many ways that you would respond in a similar situation that you saw on the video. Here's what she found. The people that experienced negative things had fewer ways to respond. Fewer responses. The people that experienced positive were the most, and the people that were neutral were in the middle. So what they found is this. In other words, when you have positive experiences, you'll see more possibilities, more options. That's why when you go into like the inner cities and bad areas and stuff, it's hard for those people to work their way out because they're so focused on the negativity that's right in front of them, they don't see the world of possibilities that is actually around them. Which now brings us to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, and teaches us really about the mindset that we should have as a Christian, which I'm calling a resurrection mindset. Let's look at verse 1. It says this, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So now, what the Apostle Paul is saying is, if you were raised with Christ, if indeed you are a Christian, here's where your mind needs to go. Not on the earthly things, but on the heavenly things. You might be saying to yourself, well, yeah, I am a Christian, and things are difficult. It's very hard for me, because there's no positive things for me to focus in on. Then he backs up and says, no, there is something positive for you to focus in on. It's the fact that you are a Christian. The fact that Jesus was willing to die for you. The most positive experience that you could ever imagine has actually happened to you when you trusted in Jesus. So he's saying, if then, that's you, if you're a Christian, your mind needs to go there. Your mind needs to go to Christ and his sacrifice and what he's done for you. You've had the most positive experience. Even if your life stinks, even if nothing seems to go right and you say, why me? You have to realize that if you are a Christian, you've experienced the most positive thing that anybody could ever experience in their entire life. But then he goes on in verse 2 and says this, set your minds on things that are above, not on things of the earth. So now he's saying, you should have this resurrection mindset. The impossible is possible. As a Christian, when you're facing difficulty in life, God is telling you, don't get so caught up in the things of this world. You are a citizen of a different world. Your mind needs to go there. Your mind needs to focus there. And why does your mind need to do that? Because now all of a sudden, the possibilities start to open. See, if the research is correct, when we have a negative experience, if we can only focus in on that experience, We're not looking at all the other options that we actually have. You know, this is easy to say, isn't it? Have a resurrection mindset. Happy Easter, take care, okay? But you know what? We have to learn how to do this, don't we? How do we do that? Well, I think the first way is we need to train ourselves with biblical instruction. When you know what to do when the negative experience comes, instead of being so focused in on the negative experience, all of a sudden your possibilities are open. So when you know what the Bible says you need to do, you're actually going to do it because you've learned it when? Beforehand. Reminds me of another time I was in front of my house. I spent a lot of time in front of my house. My son Tosh was 7 years old at that time, and you know, I was doing some kind of yard work and he was across the street. All of a sudden, two dogs booked it into the neighborhood. And they were pretty big dogs. Pretty much I'm afraid of anything over 15 pounds, okay? So these two dogs booked it into the neighborhood. That's why we have a 6-pound dog. These dogs booked it into our neighborhood. And I saw them. And, you know, my normal, you know, the gut of me says, you know, run inside. But you have a 7-year-old kid outside and you're not the father a year if you leave him out there, okay? So I didn't do that, okay? But these dogs were obviously on the loose, and one dog started running towards my son, growling. Not running like happy dog, okay? Running, growling dog. So I'm going back into my vault of all decisions that I have, because my negative experience with dogs has caused me to say, just run inside, but I can't now. So I'm like, okay, what do I know about dogs? What have I learned? How have I been trained? I have no formal training, but I've heard a couple of things. And one thing that I did hear was, you need to let the dog know you're in charge. So I was like, hey, go home. Dog stops, looks at me. I was like, whoa, I can't believe this worked. I was like, go home. And he ran. I was like, that's right. Take care of that dog. Then I grabbed my son and went inside. But see, I kind of learned something to do in a difficult situation. That's the same thing you and I need to do when it comes to decisions and things in life when difficulties come by. So we train ourselves. How do we train ourselves? Well, first is this. You have a time of personal devotion. Spend some time in the Word each day. Preferably the morning is very helpful. Out in the foyer, we have these little things called Our Daily Bread. It's a little devotional. I can't even count how many times people have come up to me and like, Pastor Mike, this week I went through a situation and that morning I was reading the Daily Bread and the scripture there. It really helped me out through that situation. Has that ever happened to you? Yeah, I know it's happened to you because you told me, okay? Here's the thing. You were prepared beforehand to make a better decision based upon what you've learned. You've trained yourself. Another way is study. You're dealing with something difficult. It's hard to get through. So look to the Bible and find out what the Bible has to say. You can go right online to BibleGateway.com. Type in, if you're dealing with an issue like gossip or anger or parenting or a marital relationship or a friendship, you can go type in the keyword. It searches the whole entire Bible, spits out the verses, and then you can study what God's word has to say about that. I have that reference on our church website, the resources link on our church website. You can go there and you can find that out. But what you're doing is you're training yourself. Okay, next time my spouse is really mean to me, I know that I shouldn't respond in anger as well. Next time my child will not listen to me, I know that I should deal with them gently. Next, whatever your situation and difficulty is, you have to start saying to yourself, okay, I need training here. I need to know what to do beforehand because in the moment, I'm making the wrong decision probably 9 times out of 10. So I have to train myself. Fellowship with other Christians. Being around other Christians is so important. Why? Because we see how they act. We see how they act and react in certain situations. So being around them in fellowship, oh, you know what? I have an example. That's why I always share illustrations and stories of different people, because I want us to learn together how other godly people navigate the difficulties. Being in church, biblical instruction happens here each Sunday, not only for adults up here, but for children downstairs in Sunday school. so unbelievably important. Do you want your children to just focus in on the negative experiences and not have any other options? Do you want those things to be true of them? Dead-end job, unhappy marriage. Do you want those things to be true of them? Well, they will be if you don't instruct them with all the options they have from God's word. You will be if you don't instruct and train yourself. And finally, action. We know that when we act on what we know, it actually trains us to continue to do that. For instance, you know, if you drive to work, you know there's a lot of people on this road with road rage, okay? There's a lot of people out there. And you know what you feel like doing when they're mean to you. You feel like being mean back. But then when you train yourself to act and do nice back or not respond in a mean way, what happens is the more you do it, the more you train yourself to do the right thing. It's just like anything else in life. You're just training yourself to respond biblically. The second thing we need to do to have a resurrection mindset is this: ask Jesus for help. I can tell you what, it is impossible for us to do this without asking Jesus for help. It's impossible to have a resurrection mindset without saying, Jesus, I need your help each day. Like I said, 9 times out of 10, we'll probably make the wrong decision by ourselves. But when you get up in the morning, you know, Jesus, help me here. Help me to deal with this situation. I'm having a real difficult issue with this person in my life, whether work, school, friends, family, spouse, children. Jesus, I need your help. I can't look at this in a positive light. I can't help myself here. I need you to intervene. I need you to help me through this situation. We have to admit it. We have to admit it that we need his help, and we have to ask him for it. But then finally, we need to commit to follow Jesus. See, we're talking mindset here, so with that comes commitment and making some sort of decision to do what Jesus would want us to do. See, verse 3 tells us why. Let's look at verse 3. He says this: for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You have died, and there is a new you, a resurrected you with a resurrected mindset. You know what? You used to do those wrong things or respond in those wrong ways or deal with difficulty in a way that is ungodly or unhealthy for you. But now he's saying, you know what? No. The new you is saved by me and should be committed to me. See, we follow Jesus. He's our example. We have to look at what he did and how he lived and the way that he responded to difficulties in the life that he lived while he was on earth. So this Easter, here's what I want you to do. Expect that difficulties will come into your life because of sin. Expect it, okay? Don't say, oh, I'm a Christian now, everything's going to be great. I want you to expect it. Difficulties are coming in your life. But realize that when you have a resurrection mindset, it will help you deal with those difficulties in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. Lord, I pray that we would have this resurrection mindset, and we know that we can't do it on our own. We need your help. So I pray, Lord, if anyone's dealing with a difficulty right now in life, whatever it is, relationally, sin-wise, whatever their difficulty is, something that's going on that they have no control over whatsoever, I pray, Lord, that you would help them have this mindset, Lord. Help them to train themselves to have this mindset. Help them to ask you for help. Help them to commit their lives to living a way that's pleasing to you so that their options are open. So that when the difficulty continues or comes into their life, they don't just get so focused on one thing like running. They don't get so focused on one thing like lashing out. They get focused on all the possibilities that your word has to offer. Lord, I do pray today, as it is Easter Sunday, if there is anyone here that doesn't know you as their Savior, that they would trust you. It's life or death. It's for their benefit and for your glory. So we pray that they would trust you. I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for all the volunteers. I'm thankful for the love that you've given through this church to this community. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.